Okay, so let's unpack this. For today's deep dive, we're looking at just a singular source.
That's right. It's a devotional message, really, and it's centered on resilience, faith.
And this simple promise of, enduring hope as you move through these huge transitions in life.
Exactly. And our mission here isn't just to summarize it. We want to analyze why these claims seem to resonate so much globally right now.
Right.
We're trying to extract the insight that tackles those, those quiet questions we all
The
have.
ones you ask when things get tough, like what happens next?
Or, am I still strong enough for this? And maybe the toughest one, does my purpose, my value still matter now?
So this deep dive is a shortcut, really, a
Yeah.
way for you to understand the comfort and the global perspective this material is offering.
And to do that, you have to start where the source starts, at the absolute foundation.
Which is a pretty powerful, really clear statement from the book of Isaiah.
Yes. Isaiah 46, verse 4, it's the anchor for the whole message. The source quotes it like this: "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you.
And it goes on.
I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you."
What's really interesting here is how the source breaks that down. It focuses on the four verbs. It's not just a nice thought. The claim is that these are four distinct active promises. I made you. I carry you.
I sustain you, and I rescue you. The argument the source is making is that this defines God's relationship with people not by performance,
Right, not by what you do.
but by this active, perpetual burden bearing. And it's for all seasons. That's the key part.
When you're strong, but also, maybe especially,
Yeah.
when you're tired or getting older.
The claim is absolute consistency.
Okay, so that clarity is powerful, but let's, introduce some friction here. It's one thing to state a promise,
Of course.
but the reality is that life changes, our strength changes, financial pressures, they build up. So how does the source handle the very real anxiety that comes with all that?
That's the pivot point. It actually spends a lot of time just validating that anxiety.
So it doesn't just brush past it.
Not at all. It gets into the very specific, deeply relatable fears that come up, especially the age-related ones. It names them. Worrying about your health, stressing over money.
And that devastating fear of becoming a burden.
Yes. And the fear of losing your purpose. The idea that your value is tied to what you can physically do or your job title.
That's a huge one in modern culture.
It is. And the source's insight is that it doesn't minimize those fears. The answer isn't to pretend things aren't changing.
It's something else.
It's to anchor back to the promise. The promise isn't, "I will make you strong again." It's, "I will carry you."
And the wording there is so precise. The source really highlights that.
It does.
Not I used to. Not I might, but I will. It's an active, present, and future
It's
thing.
a commitment.
But what does that mean in practice? I mean, isn't it a bit easy for a source to just say, stop trying to carry everything? Some people have to carry heavy burdens, caregivers, for example.
And that's exactly where the source goes next. It claims that this divine perspective understands that complexity. It gets the specifics of those fears.
So it's not a generic, don't worry.
No, it's an invitation, a way to shed the mental load of having to be self-sufficient all the time. The source basically says that trying to be strong constantly is the root of burnout.
And this promise is the permission to rest.
Exactly. And then, crucially, it moves this from just a personal feeling to a global reality.
So this search for reassurance isn't just an individual thing.
Not at all. The source lists the groups facing this today. Parents worried sick about their kids' futures, older adults feeling overlooked.
Exhausted caregivers.
Everywhere. And just families facing pure economic uncertainty. This message is meant to transcend borders. The desire to know what's stable when everything else is shaking, that's universal.
Okay, so this is where it shifts then, from the theory of the promise to how it's applied.
Right. To show that this ancient promise works for modern burdens, the source gives us these fascinating global case studies.
This is where the idea of being carried really comes to life.
Let's start with the physical challenges. We go to Nigeria to Grace Adeyemi, who is 62. She's a widow. She's the main caregiver for her grandkids.
Wow.
And she has a limited income, and her own health is declining. Her challenge is profoundly physical.
Her strength is fading just as the demands are, getting more intense.
And the source points out that her faith is growing even as her physical capacity is waning. And her quote, it links everything together. She says, "Some days my body feels tired, but I remember that God carried me when I was young, and he is still carrying me now."
So for her, being carried means physical endurance.
Right.
Provision.
Right. Now, contrast that with Michael Thompson in Jamaica. He's 55, recovering from a serious illness after years of hard construction work.
So for him, it's not just the physical pain.
No, it was an existential crisis. He felt useless. His whole identity was tied up in his physical strength.
And the source quotes his realization. It's beautiful. I thought my usefulness was over, but God showed me that my value didn't end when my strength changed.
He didn't just stop. He shifted. He became a mentor for younger men in his community.
So for him, being carried meant a renewal of purpose, not a return to his old strength.
Exactly. Now let's look at external pressures. Displacement. Financial fear.
Situations where uncertainty is the only thing you can count on.
We go to the Middle East. Nora Hassan, 41. She's a mother displaced by conflict, living in a temporary settlement. For her, the future is, I mean, it's literally unknowable.
Her reflection is so powerful because it's about surrendering that control.
She says, I do not know what tomorrow looks like, but I know God has not let us go. Being carried, for her, means survival. It means companionship in the middle of chaos.
Then there's the financial strain.
Yes, in Europe. Claire Dubois, 47, a single mom in France. She's anxious about providing for her son. Job instability, rising costs.
A story so many people can relate to right now.
And her relief came when she stopped trying to manage every single variable on her own. She realized, I felt overwhelmed, but I stopped trying to carry everything alone. Trusting God helped me breathe again.
So the carrying was mental. It was emotional load shedding.
It was. And finally, the source brings it to what a lot of us in, you know, developed economies face. Burnout. Distance.
Ah, David Miller in the United States.
Yep. 38, demanding job, long hours. The stress was causing health problems, family problems.
A classic case of that myth of the self-made person just failing.
He admitted it. He said, I realized I was trying to be strong all the time. When I finally asked God for help, things began to change. So God carries us through our need to shed that burden of self-reliance too.
And the final one?
Maria Santos, 29, from the Philippines. She's an overseas worker supporting her family back home.
That's an immense pressure. And loneliness.
A huge weight. But her belief is that God is carrying all of them at the same time, no matter how many miles are between them.
So when you pull all that together, physical endurance for Grace, new purpose for Michael, companionship for Nora, mental relief for Claire.
And permission to rest for David. It's a whole spectrum of what it means to be carried.
And that wealth of evidence is what allows the source to make its final big argument.
Yes, to synthesize it all and tie that ancient text directly to our modern lives.
So let's get into that synthesis. The source boils it down to this. God's care does not weaken. God's love does not expire. God's help, it doesn't run out.
But it's more than just a restatement. The real insight is how it defines weakness.
Right, because weakness meant something totally different for Grace, the 62-year-old caregiver, than it did for David, the 38-year-old manager.
Exactly. For Grace, weakness was physical. For David, it was that internal pressure to just keep performing, to sustain his own success. The promise addresses the source of the burden, whether it's outside of you or inside of you.
So it's an argument against the exhaustion that comes from relying only on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Which leads directly to the five big takeaways the source leaves us with.
Let's run through them.
One, God's care continues through every season. It counters that feeling of being left behind.
Two, aging does not remove purpose. We saw that so clearly with Michael in Jamaica. His value just changed form.
Three, weakness does not cancel God's help. This is so important. Grace needed to be carried because her physical strength was gone.
Four, God remains faithful. That's Nora's story, even when her entire world dissolved.
And five, the bottom line, hope is still available.
Then the source, it kind of zooms in. It brings the focus right back to you, the listener. It directly challenges that feeling of isolation, of being forgotten.
Yes, and it delivers the core message very slowly, very intentionally. You are not forgotten. You are not alone. God is still carrying you.
And the practical application of that is what you called active rest.
Right. If you're weighed down, the idea is to consciously place that worry somewhere else. If you're a caregiver, it's about lifting that person, that burden, to a higher authority.
It's a way of managing your cognitive load, but framed in a devotional way.
It is.
You know, this deep dive really shows the power of this source material. Connecting this one ancient text, Isaiah 46.4, to all these modern global points of exhaustion.
It's about anchoring a timeless promise to the timely pressures we all feel. And maybe the most powerful piece of evidence is that one quote from the American and European section.
I remember that one.
from someone later in life. They said, I thought my best days were behind me, but God met me again.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you, for the person listening, trying to apply this to the, you know, the heavy lifting of your own life?
I think it means the hope being offered here isn't just that you'll get through it, that you'll just endure whatever season you're in.
It's more than that.
It's a promise that you might actually be met and renewed in the very stage of life you're most afraid of, whether that's getting older, career burnout, whatever. The source suggests that often the moments where you feel the weakest, that's where the greatest, most surprising forms of support and purpose can actually emerge.
That is definitely something worth holding on to. A message of unwavering, active support no matter what comes next. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.